Question, why take diet pills when you can enjoy AIDS? AIDS helps you lose weight safely and effectively. Use only as directed.
Welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 85. Oh man, I'm so excited because next week, I believe it's the 19th through the 23rd, Retro Crush, myself, is going to be at a San Diego comic book convention at the lovely San Diego Convention Center. Really hope that you can meet us there. It's going to be a blast for sure. If you've never been before, San Diego Comic Book Convention is just great. It's not just a bunch of comic book stuff. In fact, it's becoming less and less about comics and more about movies and toys and other stuff. I mean, this year you've got Nicolas Cage showing up to preview the Ghost Rider movie. Samuel Jackson's going to be there for Snakes on a Plane. Sam Raimi's going to be there for Spider-Man 3 stuff. Oh my God, Snoop Dogg, Billy Dee Williams, Daniel Trejo, Elvira. And I'll be there. Gosh, you can't miss that, can you? So anyway, I will be there the 4 days, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the regular convention. And we'll be in booth 1528. And we'll be sharing some space with some great comic book artists. Johnny Ryan will be there, as well as some others there that we'll mention shortly here. But this is one of the best times of anything you could ever do, and I'm so glad to be able to go. We're going to have some T-shirts there, brand new Retro Crush shirts that you've never even seen before, some new versions of our old Squids Drinking Martini shirts there. But, I'm so excited. Can you feel it? There's going to be like over 100,000 people there, and just looking forward to help spread the Retro Crush love to all the many comic convention guests there. And please stop by and say hi. We'd love to share a laugh, a drink, and maybe a hug with you. Maybe I'll sketch a picture for you, or maybe even interview for you podcast. We're going to do a different podcast each day, and we're going to take pictures and video from the event, and there's a lot of famous people there that we're going to get as well. In fact, I know a few that we'll be hooking up specifically with, so we'll let the cat out of the bag just yet. But anyway, where was I? What I wanted to do was, since we're going to have so many people there, you know, we're going to have, I got these, Christy from Trash Film Orgy and Darren Wood from Trash Film Orgy, the wonderful first family of trash here in Sacramento, made me a gorgeous 4x6 glossy postcard. I got 5,000 of those made to hand out at the show, and they're just gorgeous. It's got a really cool Space Girl pinup art on one side and some fun stuff. Picture me on the other side looking really dumb and goofy. And I'll be handing those out, and they'll be plugging the podcast and the site. So hopefully we'll get a lot of new listeners and a lot of new readers out of this here. And, of course, thanks to you loyal listeners who've been with us all along. And please recommend us to your friends as well. But I thought, you know, with 85 episodes under our belt and almost a year of doing this podcast now, I think late July is going to be the actual one-year anniversary here soon. But there's a couple bits that from long ago, episode 14 and episode 36, that probably rank as our two funniest shows. And what I thought I'd do is play a couple pieces of those shows just to kind of relieve the glory. And if you haven't had the time to go digging back 60-plus episodes to find this stuff, maybe it's new to you. But if you've heard this stuff before, I think you'll still love to hear it again because it's timeless. First, I'm going to play a bit about this great preacher from, I think it's a Baptist church, who's going on about the evils of homosexuality. It's about a 7-minute clip, and it's hilarious because just some of the quotes he says, and I've got all my original commentary with it on the episode as well. And then we're going to follow it up with our infamous Juggalo hate mail segment. So again, two favorites there. So let's go ahead and start with from episode 36 here. This is about the crazy preacher.
We got a really good show lined up for you today. You heard a little clip during the intro there of this crazy preacher named Willie Wilson. He's from a Baptist church in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to play for you a clip of a sermon that he gave on September 3rd about how lesbians and gays are taking over the world. And this isn't your typical fire and brimstone preacher. He's just so over the top with his examples. It's just hilarious. In fact, I'm going to play it for you. It's about a 3-minute clip, and we're going to pause it a few times to make some jokes about it while we play it. But this is Willie Wilson from Washington, D.C. Here it goes.
Houston could make it, and we live in a time now. Brothers have been so put down, can't get a job. A lot of the sisters making more money than brothers, and it's created problems in families.
So right away, if sisters are making more money than brothers, that's going to create some problems in the family. So he goes from gender salary inequality off to this crazy tangent here.
That's one of the reasons our family's breaking up, and that's one of the reasons many of our women are becoming lesbians.
So basically, women are becoming lesbians because they make more money than men. So, because, you know, once they start getting that serious cash, they got to start going down on chicks. That's just a natural, it's sort of like a gateway drug. You know, once you start making more money than your man, you know, it's next thing you know, you're going to be buying Indigo Girl records.
You got to be careful when you say you don't need no man. I can make it by myself. Well, if you don't need a man, what's left? Lesbianism about to take over our community. I'm talking about young girls. My son in high school last year, trying to go to the prom. He said, Dad, I ain't got nobody to take to the prom because all the girls in my class are gay, and but two of them straight and both of them ugly.
So not only does this kid go to a class for his prom, he can't get a prom date because all the girls in his class are gay except for two of them. And they're ugly, so, you know, it's important that he's got his priorities straight, because once you wipe out lesbianism, you got to go after the uglies next, for sure. What's funny is there's a website, it's WashingtonCityPaper.com. There's a column called The District Line, and a reporter by the name of Jeff Horwitz did some investigation. This is where the preacher's based, and you know, he basically did some investigations and found out that there was almost no students that were willing to say that they were gay, and that out of over 300 students that enrolled there last year, they report that only a handful of them were openly gay. And I guess in another article, which I didn't print here, but this same writer, I believe it was him, I'm sorry if it wasn't, but someone else uncovered, or him, that his son has a steady girlfriend, and the school, I think, didn't even have a prom. So this guy's just full of shit, using his son as a prop to argue against the evils of lesbianism there. But let's continue. It gets better.
I ain't got nobody to take to the prom. Now, it just, can I park here for a minute? I ain't homophobic. because everybody in here got something wrong with them. Whoever you point at, you can point at your own self. You got something wrong with your life. But when you get down to this thing, women falling down on another woman, strapping yourself up with something, it ain't real.
Because that's how lesbian sex always works out. These women just fall down on another woman, and, you know, when you're there, strapping something on yourself, it just ain't real.
That thing ain't got no feeling in it! It ain't natural! Anytime somebody got to slap some grease on your behind to stick something in you, there's something wrong with that. Your butt ain't made for that.
Your butt ain't made for that. I think that should be our new slogan for our podcast here. So listen to Retro Christian Podcast, because your butt ain't made for that. I love, too, how his only concept of lesbian sex is with a strap on. There's, like, no other thing that they could possibly be doing together than having strap on sex there. So it makes you wonder what kind of studying he did before he wrote this sermon.
You got blood vessels and membranes in your behind.
Holy shit, it's like Clive Barker wrote this sermon. Wow, you shouldn't have anal sex because you've got blood vessels and membranes in there, as opposed to the rest of your body where there are no blood vessels or membranes whatsoever.
And if you put something unnatural in there, it breaks them all up. No wonder your behind is bleeding. It's destroying us. Can't make no connection with a screw and another screw. Bible says God made them male and female. The Hebrew word neged, which means complementary nature. There is something unique to man and unique to woman, and it takes those two things to complement each other. You can't make a connection with two screws. It takes a screw and a nut.
Wow, it takes a screw and a nut. But somebody needs to tell him that even vaginal sex is bad because there's blood and membranes in there. So anyway, pretty outrageous stuff there. It's kind of funny that there's still people like that out there that command an audience. But from the sound of the congregation, they weren't necessarily the typical raucous Baptist audience that was saying amen after everything he brought up there. That's for sure. Well, that was a fun trip down memory lane there. Your butt ain't made for that. That was always one of my favorite bits there. By the way, just we were in a retro mood there. I thought you might like our longer ago rock and roll version of the Retro Crush podcast theme there. On our MySpace page, which is myspace.com/retrocrush, got a really clever one there. Got a comment from somebody. I'm just about ready to pull up your name, so sorry for not remembering it off the top of my head here. But they wanted to hear the old the theme song there, so hope you like that there. And at the very beginning of the podcast, we played a bit of Aruka Salt's Volcano Girls. God, I love that group. I wish they'd get back together and make some songs again. But, you know, that's what was right before that. Yeah, it was from Devin, who says, I'm a big fan of your site and podcast. Just downloaded all of them from the site, and I'm going to compile a list of my favorites. I was wondering who does the theme song to the podcast. I think that guy's name was Todd McHenry, by the way. Not the newer one, but the one that's hard rock. I actually missed the theme, and I want to know where I can get a copy. I'll link that up for you there. And he wrote, I'm on podcast 23. So far, the only one I'd play over and over again so far was the Insane Clown Posse one. It's genius, and I hope to find a lot more. I know I will. I'll send my list when it's done. Well, thanks, Devin. That's nice to hear from you there.
Devin, in honor of that, I'm going to play the bit where we went over our Juggalo hate mail, and I give it a good enough introduction here where I hopefully won't have to reintroduce it here for you. Hey, I'm going to take us back a bit. Every year we do the 100 most annoying things of the year. It's a really fun feature that we do, and when I wrapped up the 2003 version, I had made the Insane Clown Posse, which is that rap duo where there's these two fat white guys that dress up like clowns and rap about just insane, crazy things. And I wrote as the number 46 most annoying thing of 2003 that Insane Clown Posse is quite possibly the most retarded and creatively bankrupt music act ever created. And don't get me started on their fans, called Juggalos, who are so devoid of intelligence they make Oakland Raider fans look like a Stephen Hawking clone army. Well, I wrote that mostly because I know that they're rather sensitive, the fans of Insane Clown Posse, and once word spreads that somebody's making fun of them, they tend to gang up and email the hell out of the people that say bad things about them. So I wanted to put that to the test, and I was not disappointed, let me tell you. I'm going to share with you some of the funniest emails I got from them, and it's just, it's almost like zombies are just given the ability to send emails out there. If you've never heard Insane Clown Posse before, and have never heard what Juggalos are all about before, here's a really small clip, of a song called What is a Juggalo from their album The Great Malenko. And this might give you a little bit of an idea here what kind of music it is here. The Juggalo drinks like fish, and then he starts hugging people like a drunk bitch. Next thing he's picking fights with his best friends, then he starts with the hugging again. Fuck. What is a Juggalo? A fucking lunatic. Somebody with a rope tied to his dick, then he jumps out a 10-story window. Oh, it's a Juggalo. So basically, if you didn't know, a Juggalo is somebody who ties a rope to their dick and jumps out of a 10-story window. So that's a pretty dedicated fan base there. So let me share some of these great emails that I got. First of them was from a girl named Laurel. I guess the female Juggalos actually call themselves Juggalettes. And she says, yeah, I'd like to say that everything about that gay website you established was okay. But when you said something about Insane Clown Posse, I'm sorry, but you insulted me. Your message about ICP was put on the website fagolovers.net, you know. You're about annoying, number one annoying thing, dickhead. And she basically wraps it up by saying that it's about time people realize that Insane Clown Posse isn't bad, but it's little pricks like you that want them to feel bad about being around. Well, the family only has one thing to say to you, and the rest of the bigot fucks in the world, fuck you, later hater. A guy named Kevin responded to the fact that I called him creatively bankrupt with, bankrupt? I'm sure they make more money in a year than you do, buddy. Somebody named Diamond Cuts replied, I'd just like to say that you have no life, and to even put the stuff you did on that list, attack what you can, but the wicked clowns will never die, no matter how much you do to them. P.S. I have a mind to speak, so don't try me. A gentleman by the name of Andrew writes, if I ever saw a hater change to Jug-a-ho, I would call them out on it so quick their neck would snap when their head spins. Frankly, you can keep hating and be anti-Juggalo, but don't expect that a few retards like me won't disagree with you. A person who's creatively named Juggalo for Life wrote, recently I viewed your list and I thought, who makes this stuff up? And that you want to be like some other big site, when in reality, you're nothing. So you pick on 100 people, and it shows. There's so many people or things on your list that are very popular, but I'm not even going to spend time ranting on about my own opinions and views like you did. Anyway, tell the people that created this list to get lives, and seriously, I think you could come up with something better than your own crappy opinion. And you love George Michael. That's quite a low blow there. So basically, he's advising me that I could have come up with something better than my own opinion.
Lotus Pod writes, "Who the fuck do you think you are? ICP has been around a lot longer than last year. You are dumb as hell and should stop talking shit about something you don't know about." And she ends it with, "Burn in hell and don't forget to fuck off, bitch." Wow, so that's pretty nice. You condemn someone to hell, but also want them to fuck off while they're there, as if, you know, going in hell is not enough. Steven writes, "Please read this. You might learn something." Oh, so this is an educational opportunity here. "Okay, man, what the fuck? Who are you or your comity to tell millions of juggalos, including me, that we are listening to one of the most annoying groups in the world? And if they are so goddamn annoying, then why do they have the most devoted fans in the world? At least juggalos are smart enough to figure that one out. We're smart enough to think outside the box." Wow. Smart enough indeed. Aaron writes, "I would like to say fuck off. Don't get me started on juggalos. Hey man, us juggalos aren't posting shit making fun of your lame ass music or going, don't get me started on Retro Crush. So until you make a song half as fresh as ICP, don't run your mouth." Somebody by the name of Hack says, "You wouldn't say this shit to any other juggalo's face about shit, because you'd bow down like a bitch and shit and jump on our every command because you're a dumb bitch." Spelled Y-O-U-R. "And if by some chance you had a pair of balls and said something to us, you'd get your trendy bitch ass stomped. Find a fuckmate, bitch." ABC Tuner says, "Dude, you got some issues. Please die." Then we have Josh writing, "You're a fucking fag, dissing on the Oakland Raiders and ICP. You think you're the most annoying thing because you bitch about everything. Fag, man, if I knew you end shit," that's a very common way to end a sentence, I guess, here with juggalos, "if I knew you end shit, I would definitely kick your ass. It just pisses me off that I can't do anything, though, because it's just the internet. But fuck you, Raider hater bitch. Later, fag. P.S. Shut the fuck up." That's great. Eric writes, "You fucking faggot. Your jokes are fucking pathetic. You were clearly born to be killed. If you ever come to Massachusetts, look me up. I'll beat the shit out of you for the hell of it, then piss on your face." Wow, how could I pass up that offer? You're just a nerdy fucking piece of shit who thinks working on a website will get you laid. Yeah, I've always thought that you know, running a retro website where I talk about old Atari games and Rubik's Cube was the sure gateway to pussy on the internet, but I guess I was wrong. Maybe I should start a site called Soccer Boy and do podcasts from my toilet or something. Anyway, he says, "It won't. Learn to suck your own dick fast, buddy. And try saying what you said about ICP and juggalos to the next juggalo you see. I fucking dare you, bitch. I have no respect for people like you. Now go drink your fucking herbal tea and light some incense, cock whore." Gotta admit, that was one of the funniest ones there. And he also ends it out with, "Yeah, I know this shit is immature. Blow me. Don't bother responding. I won't read it. You can write it, though, if it makes you feel better." Well, that's good. Give me an outlet there, even though you won't read it. Somebody named Gadio writes, "You are a damn stupid idiot. You insulted me and all the other ICP fans out there. What for? You think you're so clever, you're not even funny." Tom writes, "Fuck you. Keep your opinions about people to yourself and suck a dick." A lot of these people want me to suck on dicks. I kind of wonder what's really going on under the ICP Juggalo fans there. But that is all. And from one Juggalo who is not void of intelligence, I'm out, y'all. Clown love and Juggalos till death. P.S. If you say any shit like you posted on your website to a Juggalo's face, and you'd get your fucking grill busted. Don't say I didn't warn you. Which was kind of funny, actually. A couple weeks ago at the California State Fair, I was walking around with some friends, and I see two guys walking with Insane Clown Posse shirts and a little bit of makeup on their face. And I actually said, "Hey, Juggalos!" And they just kind of looked at me and ran away. So far, the Juggalo army has not lived up to their promise yet, though. Jessica writes, the number one most annoying thing is that the people who wrote this article spend all their time dissing other people. You're just another shit talker on a faceless stage, the internet. That's pretty deep if you think about it. The internet's just a faceless stage. Wow. I'm at the denial stage right now. James writes, are you a fucking retard? You are the biggest fucking shit ever. Have you even seen any of the movies you make fun of? You, Kangaroo Jack is a fucking hilarious movie. You little shit, not to mention that Bad Boys 2 is the best movie too. Do you hate everyone? You have no reason for being such a fucker except you probably look like a fucking cross between Gollum and Dolby the fucking house elf. You know who the fuck I'm talking about, you little shit. This part's great. Just out of nowhere, he says, you're probably from Bulgaria, aren't you? Only someone from Bulgaria is so fucking gay. No wonder why you hate everyone. Everyone hates your ugly face and your country, you little shit. Wow. Apologies to our Bulgarian listeners for that one. Brandon writes, there's something really wrong with you, motherfucker. First off, you had some good choices, but making fun of dead people and people that can kick your scranny little ass, you are one dumb motherfucker. I don't say this really at all, but you need to crash your little piece of shit car into a fucking tree and die. Wow. And Steve writes, hello, I liked your little list except for the one that you talked about ICP and the Juggalos. Don't start a war with the Juggalos, because we will make your life a living hell. Are you a comedian or something? Do you open or feature or headline at any comedy clubs? That's funny. He's like insulting me, but wants to know where I'm playing this week. But I'm going to close this out with this really heartfelt one from a gentleman named Cyril Strangla. And, you know, by the way, if you're a tough guy and you say strangla or killa or nigga or playa, you know, if you just leave off the ER and put an A at the end, it seems like that really does make you extra tough. So I really kind of like the gangsterized spelling that's emerged through the years. But Cyril Strangla wrote, first off, I'd like to say that I have no intent of being rude or insulting in this email, just that I'd like to submit to you a few thoughts and questions. And I sincerely hope that you can take the time to read this. And I'm wondering if this really is from a juggalo, because that's like two complete sentences with no grammatical or spelling errors there. So it's just, it's amazing. That should go in the record books. He says, you don't like ICP, huh? Well, tell me how many of their albums or songs you've listened to. I started listening to ICP when I was about 10 or 11. Now, I don't know about you and how you were raised, but I had little to no friends through my entire life until the light of the dark carnival shed upon my life. Because of ICP, I have friends that I would die for. I've been walking through my local mall and saw a ninja with a riddle box t-shirt getting beat on by five jock-type ninjas. And I don't even have to tell you I didn't think twice about jumping in there and beating them dude's asses. Not sure what that means, but he basically gave five guys a beat down. Just to have another juggalo's back. Turns out that he was a juggalo brother, and me and him are still tight to this day. So he just randomly came to this guy's defense, and turns out he was a fellow juggalo. I've been in the same position, and ninjas jump in and they got my back. That's what being a juggalo is. It's like having thousands of brothers and sisters and best friends that you meet on a daily basis. So, wow, that's pretty cool, because you're a juggalo. You're going to meet thousands of people every day, but you do have the peril of ninjas randomly attacking you when you least expect it at the mall. I don't know what ninjas have against juggalos, but, you know, something to find out on a later day. He goes on to say, if ICP is so horrible, then why is it that they've been around and putting out the flavor for over 10 years now? They have no MTV play, no radio play, and no mainstream help. They put themselves on the map, and they did just what they wanted. I sit here now and tell you that I have never felt better or more loved than last July at the Gathering of the Juggalos. 5,000-plus ninjas and I felt like I knew each and every one of them, and I wasn't afraid to myself. Which is kind of weird. Wasn't he just saying that ninjas are always attacking him, but now he's hanging out with ninjas at the Gathering of the Juggalos? This is just blowing my mind. I never laughed harder than when I watched their movie and he says that he loves their wrestling federation. As I sit here listening to Shangri-La and reflecting upon my life with the Dark Carnival, I'm actually bringing up tears, man. ICP's been such a major part of my life for so long, I can't imagine what I would have become without them. ICP has given me a home, hope, and a family. You know, it's such a touching story, and I'm sorry. I want to personally apologize to all the juggalos I've ever made fun of and to Insane Clown Posse. You know, I definitely bit off more than I can chew making fun of you guys, and I think those emails really showed me the error of my ways. You guys are an intelligent, heartfelt bunch that are a brotherhood of good hope for all that is right in the world, and I humbly ask for your forgiveness. In fact, I'd like to sing a special song for you right now. So many nights I sit by my window waiting for someone to sing me his song. So many dreams, something, 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 and now you, something, something, and now you come along, 'cause you light up my life, you give me hope to carry on, you light up my days and fill me up with song. Anybody still listening? All right. So, actually, that was just a plot to get all the juggalos to get off the podcast, because Debbie Boone music is the only cure to juggaloism. Man, them juggalos is crazy. I was just reading it that the juggalos have been terrorizing some people in some parks up in Washington. That's pretty wild there. But anyway, yeah. I in case you can't tell, I put the podcast on pause, and I had the equivalent of about 3 beers, and was enjoying myself. So I'm coming back to finish this up and a little more happy than I was at the beginning of this podcast. Not that I was sad, mind you, but I'm a lot happier now, as they say, on the street. Well, yeah, I've been trying to get a sponsor for Retro Crush the Podcast for many weeks now. And I'm happy to introduce that Hair Weaving by Evelyn has now decided to sponsor our podcast. And here's their ad.
Something fabulous has come to Manhattan, and it's right next door to the world-famous Apollo Theater. It's Hair Weaving by Evelyn. That's right, Hair Weaving by Evelyn at 243 West 125th Street. No appointment necessary. Open 6 days a week. Medically approved. Hair Weaving by Evelyn.
Medically
for information,
approved.
Call 864-5100. 864-5100.
Aw, yeah. By the way, if you ever like to call the Retro Crush Podcast hotline, feel free to dial 916-231-9480. And we play all kinds of voicemails on the air. You can visit our site, retrocrush.com. Email me at rberry@retrocrush.com. And, of course, visit our MySpace page where you can pretend to be my friend at myspace.com/retrocrush. And you can see all the people that I've now become friends with. I'm now getting close to 500 friends, which is about 499 more friends than I have in real life, so that's a pretty nice, you know. And, you know, I'm going to give away a prize to the best caller to the voicemail hotline. I've got John Chris Felucci presents Ren and Stimpy, the Lost Episodes, What They Wouldn't Let You See When You're a Kid, all new episodes. And it's a great new DVD from Paramount and Spike TV. So 916-231-9480, the coolest voicemail, will get it. So there you go, folks. Well, I'm going to play a virtual buttload of old retro commercials for you now.
we mentioned before, I think we played a voicemail that somebody wanted to hear the Calgon commercial, and I simulated it myself because I couldn't find the audio for it, but lo and behold, I did. So here you go.
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secrets.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret. Calgon. Calgon's two water softeners soften wash water so detergents clean better. In hardest water, Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner. We need more Calgon. Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner.
Here's a commercial for Creepy Crawlers.
Creepy Crawlers, Creepy Crawlers, Creepy Crawlers.
Now, you can make all kinds of lovely things like these with Mattel's wonderful Thing Maker. It makes creepy crawlers, spiders, lizards, snakes, dragonflies. Make them yourself with this nice plastic goop. Choose a mold, pour in the goop, heat it, and presto change-o! You've got bugs. Squiggly, squirchy bugs. They feel so soft and soft and natural. You get four different colors of goop and special paints. Make charming lizard pins or spider rings. You can collect them or sprout. After all, they are fun for the entire family. Get Mattel's new Thing Maker with creepy crawlers. You can tell it's Mattel. It's swell.
Creepy crawlers were great. It was this sort of an oven that you'd plug in, and it had these metal molds that you could pour this four different kinds of goop into, and it would make little rubbery bugs. But they kind of had to retool it because it would get too hot, and it was prone to burning kids' fingers. And like all good things, it had to get taken away. Here's a commercial from the 80s for Federated Video. And this was featuring Shadow Stevens. This was a very big thing in the 80s. And, you know, I know it was in California and Texas. I don't know if it's in other areas, but kind of a silly 80s style commercial here for you.
Hi, your best friend, Fred Rader for Federated. Folks say to me, Fred, you've got over 100 different videotape recorders at Federated.
That was pretty pretty amazing there. Here's a commercial for Freshen Up Gum, the gum that goes squirt.
Here it comes, freshen up.
Yeah, I remember when Freshen Up came out. That was quite a new revolution in gum there. Basically, you could bite this little cube of gum and junk would squirt out into your mouth. And Chewels was another kind of gum that did that. But they're not too popular anymore because it's pretty gross for the most part. Here's a commercial for the AMC Gremlin that was trying to tell you that the Gremlin was a cooler car to buy than a Pinto.
Here it comes.
But that's actually the Freshen Up commercial. Here's the Gremlin commercial.
AMC has reduced the list price of new Gremlins by $253. Now, stack Gremlin at $29.95 against this Ford Pinto. Gremlin lists for less, but gives you more. Both have bucket seats, but Gremlin drops in six cylinders, Pinto four. Gremlin has a fold-down rear seat, and only Gremlin has a wide hatch. Plus, AMC's expanded buyer protection plan, too. When you stack them up, Gremlin comes out on top. There's more to an AMC.
There's definitely more to an AMC, that's for sure. Here's a commercial for a candy bar that debuted in the 80s. It's one of the few newer candy bars that's still around for more than 5 years. Whatchamacallit.
Hey, what you eating? A neat candy bar. Boy, is it crispy. Sounds good. It smells peanutty. What do you call it?
Whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit?
That's right.
What's right?
The name.
What name?
Whatchamacallit?
You forgot the name?
Whatchamacallit, the totally different crunchy bar of peanutty tasting crisp drenched in chocolate. Whatchamacallit from Hershey. You can ask for it by name.
I have some of that.
Some of what?
Boy, two people at a baseball game having confusing conversation about pronouns and whatnot. Where did they get that idea? That's pretty original. Here's a commercial. We'll round this out for Alka-Seltzer with the famous "That's a spicy meatball."
Mamma mia! That's a some spicy cut. Spicy meatballs, Jack.
Sorry.
Take 28.
Out, Tony.
And action. Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
Get off my monitor, you fly.
The accent.
There's a fly in my monitor. Get off.
Cut. Meesy, micey, ballsy, ballsy, fat.
Take 59.
And action.
Sometimes you eat more than you should, and when it's spicy besides, mamma mia, do you need Alka-Seltzer. Alka-Seltzer can help unstuff you, relieve the acid indigestion, and help make you your old self again.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball!
Okay, let's break for lunch.
This next clip I'm going to play is not really quite a retro clip, but it's pretty funny nonetheless. I thought I'd share it with you. It's, The Adam Carolla Show, one of the many shows that was trying to fill the void of the Howard Stern Show after it was canceled, unsuccessfully, I may add, had Ann Coulter on as a guest. She's basically this skeletal, cryptkeeper-like conservative gadflea that you see everywhere, like the plague. This clip speak for itself here.
Lisa Lampanelli in studio. Great to see you.
You too, babe.
Ann Coulter, who was supposed to be on the show about an hour and a half ago, is now on the phone as well. Ann?
Hello.
Hi, Ann. You're late, baby doll.
Somebody gave me the wrong number.
Mm. How did you get the right number? Just dialed randomly? Eventually you got through to our show?
No, my publicist emailed it to me, I guess, after checking with you. But I am really tight on time right now because I already had it.
All right, well, get lost.
Oh, my God.
Did you really just hang up on Ann
yes.
Coulter?
Well, she's
I
tight
love
on
that
time.
Idea.
I agree
Girl.
With that. I completely agree
Good.
With that.
Yeah,
you need that time. I'm tight on time. Go
Good.
Blow.
You're tight on time.
Time.
I'm tight on time, too. And I don't have time for bitches, so let's move on.
That was the only interview with Ann Coulter that she didn't say something offensive.
Say it now. Tight on time.
You know what?
Go F yourself. You're tight on time.
I say this, Ann Coulter. Why the long face?
Listen, you bitch. Don't call in an hour and a half late and tell me you're tight on time. Of course you're tight on time. You're an hour and a half goddamn late calling into the radio show. Just take your crappy book and go pitch it to your stupid cable outlets. We'll do.
Wow. Applause to Adam Carolla there. That's great. Just hanging right up on her like that. Just awesome. But, of course, she gets more coverage and news out of it anyway. There's just no defeating that Ann Coulter there, no matter what you do. Hey, did I mention I was going to be at the San Diego Comic Convention next week? Let me tell you that it's bound to be the greatest event the world has ever seen. So I'm just letting you know now, if you miss out on this, you may be missing out on the comic book and media equivalent of... what do they call that? The Ascension? Or what is it? You and all the people are called up to heaven? Something kind of cool sounding, but can't remember what it is. Well, let's see here. I think that's about all the time we have for today. But thanks, y'all, for listening. We're going to have four new podcasts next week, if you can believe that. Lots of great celebrity interviews. I hope to talk to Ken Foree from Dawn of the Dead. Cindy Morgan from Tron and Caddyshack. Might even get to talk to Chuck D from Public Enemy. And lots of other folks as well. And if you'd like to buy a Retro Crush t-shirt, you can go to RetroCrush.com right on the front page and we'll get one right out to you. And we got a great message board. And as always, I like to plug some other websites. Check out Drink Till We're Funny as a podcast. You can go to dtwfpodcast.com or just look them up on iTunes. And if you're not subscribing to us through iTunes, or actually, even if you are, go resubscribe to us so you'll help us out in those ratings there. We're trying to get back on the high up on the charts there as well. And for a really good read, check out a thing I just put together. It's the 30 top game show hosts of all time. See who they might be. And we've got lots of fun video clips linked up for most of them. And I had a really good time getting interviewed by a Canadian Newswire service about that. So hopefully get some extra coverage out of that as well. So please call the Retro Crush Hotline, 916-231-9480, and all that other stuff as well. I did mention on my last podcast that I was really excited to be buying the Johnny Cash album, American Recordings 5, 100 Highways. And it came out on July 4th. And hey, that was the number one album last week. Kind of cool that Johnny Cash's first number one album since his Folsom, I think the San Quentin albums in 1969. So that's just amazing. So apparently Rick Rubin's got about 60 songs. These are about 14 of them that he's going to be releasing over some time of Johnny Cash's, and some good stuff. So I was going to play a little bits of some of these songs here for you. Let you know what I think. Overall, it's a very good CD. If you're a big Johnny Cash fan, I think you'll love it. And if you're a casual Johnny Cash fan, you probably have some other records that you might want to check out first. It's a really melancholy album. He's very sick on this album, and it really sounds like he's on death's door, and practically is. In fact, some of the songs, his voice is kind of giving out a little bit. So it's a little more sad. There's a lot of introspective songs looking back on his life, knowing that death is near. And let's play a couple bits of some of those for you here. The first track here is track one on the CD. It's called Help Me.
Oh Lord, help me to walk another mile, just one more mile. I'm tired of walking all alone. And Lord, help me to smile, another smile, just one more smile. Don't think I can do things on my own. I never thought I needed help before. Thought that I could get by myself.
Really nice song there. Really, really nice way to start out the CD, and it's a good, solid song. It's as good as any of the more recent songs that he's done there. This is probably my second favorite song on the album. It's called God's Gonna Cut You Down. Just a really nice fire and brimstone Johnny Channel and Jesus type of song that that I love so much. Called God's Gonna Cut You Down.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
Next we've got Like the 309, which is probably my favorite song on the CD. And another good train song in Johnny's legacy of great train songs there. And this is apparently the last song that he ever wrote or performed, for that matter. And it's really cool. Definitely a welcoming death type of song that's kind of nice. It's like Johnny saying goodbye to you in the song.
It should be a while before I see Dr. Death, so it would sure be nice if I could get my breath. Well, I'm not the crying nor the whining kind. till I hear the whistle of the 309, of the 309, of the 309. Put me in my box on the 309.
Great, great song. There's even a line near the end where he talks about how the asthma's weighing heavy on him, and they put a sound effect in of him using the asthma inhaler while he's singing. Kind of just a fun little thing there, but just great song. Another one of the, not a lot of super memorable cover songs on this album. You're definitely not going to get the equivalent of Hurt or some of the other ones that really stuck out on his previous American recordings, but there's definitely some cover songs on there nonetheless. One of them is Bruce Springsteen's Further On Up the Road, that apparently Johnny's son, John Carter Cash, wanted him to do a cover of, and he, of course, obliged.
Where the road is dark and the seed is sown, where the gun is cocked as the bullet's cold, where the miles are marked in the blood and the gold, I'll meet you farther on up the road.
Well, he's still, sir, very rich and powerful there. It's kind of nice to hear. This last clip I'm going to play for you is a cover of Gordon Lightfoot's If You Could Read My Mind. And I was really looking forward to this, and I think I built it up so much anticipation for this cover in my head that I thought it was just going to be a lot more fantastic than it ended up being. It's still kind of nice, but this is definitely one of them that Johnny's voice sounds a lot more frail on. You could definitely tell that this was kind of in one of Johnny's bad final days that this was recorded here.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains around my feet, you know that ghost is me, and I will never be set free as long as there's a ghost that you can't see.
I must have listened to this CD about five times within a 2-day period, and just really like it a lot. But it's ultimately a little sad of an album. There's really not a good, great, happy song on there, but maybe there shouldn't be at this point, you know. There's, you know, when guys got probably 80 albums worth of great junk to listen to, you know, it's the different CDs for different times there. So anyway, definitely worth your $10 to $15 if you go and buy the thing there. You know, support Mr. Cash's legacy there, that's for sure. And by the way, thanks to a listener who goes by the name Peach Vampirus, who says, "Hey Robert, I'm a big fan of Retro Crush website and podcast. Since you're a fan of Johnny Cash, I was wondering if you knew about the Johnny Cash action figure from SOTA." Well, a reminder there coming up on my thing there. Anyway, if you go to cornerstonecomics.com/AF_music.html, you can find a pretty cool looking Johnny Cash action figure there as well, and I think he comes with a free bottle of pills. So that's about all the time we have for today. Hope to see you guys in San Diego. Please call us 916-231-9480 and everything else that I've said already, and I'm going to leave you today with a wonderful song, probably one of the more beautiful cover songs ever done of a standard. It's a Summertime by, why am I even stumbling on the name? It's by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. And it's just pure beautifulness.
And the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich, and your ma is good looking.